Winston City Council meeting, May 1st, 2023, excuse me, workshop, 6 p.m.
You almost got the train.
At least it won't, that'll get us for the first 5 minutes.
It's a typical way to do it.
Little boss, you can't go anywhere without your strappies.
Animal.
Yeah.
Two by two.
At least to start.
In Detroit. Big eye.
I was brewing a Denver joke and you. You beat me to it.
Counselor, what on the line?
I haven't heard her come in yet.
Who?
Dory. I haven't heard her come in yet.
Are you going to call her?
Got your gavel, Mayor. I know you can't live with that. Yep. There you go.
They need my security gavel.
Should be calling any second.
Okay. Well, welcome to this workshop. The main idea of this workshop was for Alan and Dave and I to discuss a little bit about what we learned at the League of Oregon Cities conference that we went to in Seaside last week. And then get a little bit more of a head start than we had prior to this on fundraising for the sewer projects that we need to start working on. There's some other opportunities we have that we missed, others that are coming along that are going to be probably very helpful for us, but we need to kind of talk about that and maybe initiate a conversation on what looks like a proposed rate increase at some point in time. So with that being said, Dave, you want to make some comments?
Yes, I certainly will. I'm going to call the part of the conference there a black hole. And the reason for that is that a good portion of it was directly or indirectly connected with the politically correct, the unhoused, or the homeless. The big glaring conundrum that was experienced, at least by myself, was questions that was raised that they could not answer. These, I'm talking about people from the state of Oregon. The main thing was that the mandates that are put in on to especially the small rural areas and the cities without any supporting funding, and the you will do it or else type attitude, that they had placed no responsibility on any of the counties. Now this affects us because we have an unincorporated Dillard on one side. We have the big green district on the other side. And the county has no mandates, no nothing that they have to do. They put it all directly down for one size fit all for the cities. And that to me is ludicrous. And when they could not even answer the question, if they did, they tried to refer to someone else, and if they other person could do it, they went off someplace else that wasn't even close to the question that was asked. And this was across the continuum. The one part that I did find very interesting, though, laid in the senior moment, Alan, help me out here. We sat in on the same one. It wasn't about housing. It was, communications, in which city employees can do, what they cannot do, what they can say, what they can't say.
In regards to?
Anything that is, call it political,
social media.
Facebook, things like that, and that was quite interesting. And also on that, there were some things in there that they were not really sure about either, because there's several excellent questions to ask, like, what is the line? Well, that couldn't be answered. The other question was, what can a city official say online on Facebook, or what? Or I'm using that as an illustration. Or not say.
Pulmonary hypertension.
What?
Hello, sorry.
That's okay.
Well, you come in with a 65-cent word right off the bat, huh, Dory?
I'll tell you, this has been an experience. If there's a mistake, it's been made on me.
Okay.
I'm here.
I won't debate that. Anyway.
Okay.
Anyway.
Funny.
The point was, is that what can they say? And they said, as long as you keep it on fact and not rendering an opinion. The illustration was, I like to go on the Winston 24/7 quite a bit. Now somebody will make a comment, I'll go back and just say, this is a fact. This, and this. And that's perfectly fine. But I'm not giving an opinion. Okay. And so I found that one the most interesting and the most enlightening, because how many politicians have you known that has gotten in trouble with social media? Okay? I mean, I really can't trump that.
Okay, thank you, sir. Alan, you want to offer some wisdom?
I thought our general session, second day, the last day, to me was most interesting. Well, I did attend most of the homeless housing issue workshops that they had, and got some interesting. Or every city has the same problem we do, or we don't have the problem a lot of cities do. Let's put it that way. Anyway, so the lunch and general session, the five things state agencies wish city officials knew about them. We got a lot of good information about what we can do to help us check our infrastructure, which includes our sewer, roads, and everything else. And I thought the conversations that were up there, from the starting with Business Oregon and going on to Oregon Housing Community Services, ODOT, Department of Land Conservation and Development, Oregon Health Authority even pitches in. We got some names and some numbers, and we got some information that I think is going to be kind of helpful going forward. And I think that as we expand on that, and maybe they hold out information and give you some ideas, and then you, if you want to really go check on it, depends on how much money is actually available. We don't know that yet, but they do help cities with infrastructure, and talking about our one-stop shop, that's what they actually mentioned.
And we have one of those coming up. Mark, where are we with that, with the Civil West on the siphon one-stop? Has that gone forward? Excuse me, I'm digressing a little bit.
Yes, okay, so Civil West has notified all the one-stop agencies that we want to have a one-stop meeting. Okay. So the latest is we met with the Rose about the appraisal report, which they were fine with. They wanted some additional property included, which makes sense. Their driveway is going to get kind of torn up from the trucks and stuff going in and out of there. So they would like to have a edge of their driveway included in the easement. So we'll calculate what that looks like, and that shouldn't be a problem. So, but they had no problem with the appraisal report. And it was a different kind of conversation. Conversation was much more relaxed. There was no like one-ups and shit going on. It was just a great conversation, and we'll be moving forward. So,
thank you.
Yeah, that's where we're at. And we haven't got a date yet on the workshop.
Okay. Alec, anything else?
A lot of other things going on, but I think that kind of covers what I thought was good about the that last session anyway. And that was just one of the several. Both days we covered a lot of ground on a lot of different workshops, and so.
Would you like us to put a tour together for you to go look in some of these manholes and sit in the video booth as we?
I'm just going to use Andy's. He's been making sewer porn for the last 5 years out there, so I'm going to let him continue to do that.
That's
he can just report.
That's fine.
Okay.
It may be maybe he'll have a video for us. Is that what you have, Andy?
Yeah, we can put a couple videos together.
Andy's greatest hits.
I think Chris would love to see all of you out out at the treatment plant and give you a tour of the treatment plant.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
And then point out some of what he's talking about, billions of dollars.
The one thing that I just thought about, and Andy, this concerns you, okay? I talked with an engineering company that absolutely specializes in wastewater, sewer plants, sewage construction, you know, like what we're talking about, etc. And I gave him your telephone number and your position, etc.
You're welcome.
I called my son-in-law, and he knows the company. He says that if there's a five-star company, they're number six and number seven. And their specialty is sewer relocation, sewer repairs, sewer plants, et cetera.
To be politically correct, David, we're referring to the wastewater collection system.
Right. Well, I know that. All right. But the point is, with the wastewater collection system, you have the sewer plant.
Yeah. Do you recall the name of the firm?
Yes, I do, and I brought in a pamphlet, and it was supposed to be put on your desk.
It's on my desk.
Or Thomas's desk.
Yep.
Starts with an H.
Okay.
The company's name starts with an H.
Yes, and it's out of Boise, Idaho.
Oh.
Okay. Engineering. And this is their forte.
I'll come up with it.
Yeah, that's it's the same thing that the engineering firm that we use, that Chris uses out of treatment plant. Is a wastewater specialty firm as well. And that's one of the reasons why their costs are so much higher, because they specialize in it.
But anyway, I just thought that'd be good to pass on it.
Yeah, absolutely.
And Thomas has the information.
Get better. We just need somebody who's like in, say, Sutherland instead of Boise.
Well, getting different views, is that a good idea?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Good thing we can hear her.
Yeah. All that work I did on that spider seems to be.
So one of the things that I think I gleaned most from this was how difficult it's going to be to get hooked in with the funding mechanisms that are out there. Sadly, we missed the first cutoff date, which was April 14th, but for seeking for Business Oregon loans or grants. I was hoping to find a way where we could leverage some of the funds that were collecting now into a better rate for us in the future, and we'll see what happens. I don't think that's going to be a real strong possibility at this point. The other thing I thought was interesting was the conversation. I think you were in the room for the LOC lobbyist.
Yes.
Talking about the different House bills and the Senate bills coming along. As citizens, we all need to pay attention to what's going on, because there's some weird stuff coming down the pike. And I'm not going to share with you my personal definition of weird. You can figure your own what's weird out on your own, but we need to be watching what's happening in Salem and watching very closely what's happening in Salem. Yes, ma'am.
Did they have any discussion about the two sources of putting a bill together to stop camping along streams, waterways, etc.? Did they talk about that at all?
I don't believe I saw that. Okay. Dory, what's pretty much anything? This is an opinion. I felt I learned anything that had to deal with anything negative about how to resolve part of the homeless issue, we're not going to talk about.
Okay.
It's all going to be, and the people out there actually believe that there's a way to solve this problem.
Well, good. Pass it on. We need to know.
Actually, what they said was don't use the word solve, because it's not solvable.
It's not solvable.
And then not only that, Dory, your stream, your riverbeds, is either county or state, and they have put no policies in place for the counties or the states themselves.
Well, it's a proposed one. They haven't got it together all the way. It's proposed. It's not true. No, they're proposing two different bills, and that's what I was wondering if anybody there said anything about that.
Do you have a number?
Obviously, they didn't.
Do you have a number, Dory?
I don't. I'm sorry.
Okay. So, any of you guys have any questions at this point?
The shopping center over here, I noticed there's a trailer, van trailer, that parks over there.
That works at Astro.
Yeah. He said he does.
The red van?
I don't know if it's red.
Unless he just got fired, he worked it off.
Oh, no. It comes and goes. Yeah. So, usually, like where we came from, you get one, another one. Is that going to be like, are they going to have a parking place for the homeless that have cars or vans or?
This is a private property thing, right, Brandon?
It has nothing to do with us.
Really, we can't.
I mean, if you're talking about the red van pulling the trailer, the guy works at the Astor gas station, and he goes and parks at nighttime over at the old fire station in Dillard. The old lot.
He's
not that I know.
Yeah.
I mean, that's, Your Honor, if I may, on
please.
The homeless thing. So, What the state would like to see is an area in each city that is established for homeless, either to camp in or to have a building to live in. And it requires that you have parking space for their vehicle, you got a restroom, you got to provide all these different services to them as well. So, certainly something we don't have the money to do.
Yeah. The when they camp, well, if they have a camping place, wherever that's going to be, is the city going to provide dumpsters? Because what we would see in Crescent City was the trash just went out everywhere.
That's one of the things that's required. But getting them to put it in the dumpster is another challenge. There's a lot of challenges to just operating one. Sutherland's doing it right now. So we've had conversations with them about what kind of issues they've seen with theirs. But one thing about Sutherland is that theirs is located in their light industrial area. So if you're coming into Sutherland on the Kalapuya Creek Road, right there by Forest Pond, there's a baseball field. If you turn right there and drive down along the levee, Forest Pond's old dike there, it's a corner down there is their homeless camp. And it's hidden. That's what you can do when you have light industrial, is that you can hide things that maybe aren't something you want out front for everybody to see. Like a homeless camp. So we don't have that light industrial zoned property. We're commercial and residential.
The reality of it is we don't have a serious, visible homeless situation in Winston. We have transients going through, crossing the river, and going to the bridge, or under the bridge. The other side of the river from Dory's neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, but they're not our problem. They're Dory's problem.
Oh, you're such a sweetheart, Scott. I just can't thank you enough.
What happens if we do nothing?
If we do nothing, then the state will tell us what we're going to do.
Yeah, we're going to do something. Yeah.
So what we're going to do tonight, a little bit later on in the meeting, is we're going to talk about a proposed ordinance that we're working on. That's actually has gone through some changes with the LLC attorney that we'll have a conversation about it. Thomas, could you explain that, please? We had a three-tier option that we talked about at the homeless workshop. One was to do nothing, and if that was the case, then the state would tell us what we're going to do. The second option was to come up with an ordinance that limited time of stay, what they could do, where they could do it in the city, and then move out, you know, whatever the time frame was. The third option was establish a camp, and in that camp you'd have to have all the facilities associated with the campground, sewer, or, you know, wastewater, garbage, all that.
Water,
all that. So,
cable TV.
Yeah, internet. This is a real, real tough situation. Unfortunately for us, we don't have a huge problem.
Yeah. The only bright note on this is that we are in the same fix as many of the other small rural cities. And they showed, other rural cities showed quite a bit of dissatisfaction towards the state speakers that I spoke about earlier. And some of the ordinances they're putting together are very close to each other with the small city. So basically there could be a gas roots or a groundswell that's starting from the small cities. Like, you can put a mandate on us, but we can't. So that's something. We're all in the same boat with the small cities.
So another bill that they've got moving right now is to decriminalize homeless camps. So what would happen if we did nothing is that they could just come in and lay down anywhere they wanted to lay down on public property, and there'd be nothing we could do about it. So that would be leaving the options open to them to pick and choose, whereas we have the ability to, for example, if you're gonna camp, you know, you have to have a manufactured tent, not a tarp or a piece of plastic. So we can control the way it looks to some degree, and we can dictate time to some degree, but the reality of it is, by passing this ordinance, we really don't come into communication with the homeless people here very often. If we do, it's our police. It's either the county cleaning up the mess down along the river, you know, including our public works and our police helping. As the mayor indicated, right now we don't have the same level of problem that, say, Roseburg has, where they're basically living in their downtown area and utilizing every doorway as their restroom. So as long as the chief can, you know, keep it moving.
What astonished me when I was talking to a couple of fellow mayors over there, the mayor of Mitchell, which burgeoning metropolis of 120 people, and we were discussing his homeless issue, and he said, "I got one." And then a couple hours later, he walked up, he said, "Scott," he said, "I was wrong. I got none. That guy lives in the county. He's somebody else's problem." Yeah. And then the mayor of Vail, who is on one of the mayor's homeless commissions, and I couldn't imagine how you would want to be homeless in Vail, Oregon, because there's only about 4 months of the year when that place is inhabitable. Two of those are in the fall and two of those are in the spring. The rest of the time it's either cold and windy or hot and windy. So anyway, they've got issues there as well. You guys have any questions, any comments you want to make? Yes, ma'am.
Was anything addressed with respect to support for infrastructure for the smaller cities?
Well, that was... Yes, and that was what I was going to hopefully get to in a couple of minutes.
Oh, okay.
We went. I just missed a call before I sat down from a guy from Business Oregon that is one of the hopeful opportunities for us to move forward. But they have large sums of money, but they're splitting them out between homeless infrastructure, between wastewater, between water, streets, bridges. ODOT has a bunch of this money too, but they're really jealous with how that goes. It's more related with road projects, electric car charging stations are a big one for them. But we did talk about some of it. And if you guys want to mention, Alan, I know you picked up something on that.
Yeah, the head of the Business Oregon actually gave us his phone number. He said, "Call me." He says, "I'll get you started." They have what they call, we didn't get the name of the guy that in our area.
Christopher.
Did you get it?
We played telephone tag most of the day.
he's our area representative from Business Oregon. And they have several parties that they can go with, as Scott said, ODOT. Actually, the Department of Land and Conservation Development actually has money available for infrastructure. So does
DEQ.
DEQ has money too, and Business Oregon will kind of put these things all together, supposedly. But it is a competitive situation also, because obviously, like I think ODOT. When we listened to the ODOT commissioner, he said, "We have some amount of money." He said, "And we need $600 million. Fix everything we need to fix." And obviously, they don't have $600 million. So it's competitive, even through Business Oregon. But Business Oregon does put some packages together from all these other lenders. They have loans, they have grants. But again, whether they're going to be the whole answer, I don't know. just have to get in touch with them. And the next deadline we have, I think, is September 15th.
August 14th.
Was August 14th?
August 14th with Business Oregon.
Okay.
And then there's another one in December.
Okay.
I believe they're part of the one stop.
Yes, they are. He talked very much, Business Oregon, I talked about being the one-stop shop. Yeah. They put everything together, try to get all these other entities together.
Right. One of the things that keeps getting mentioned, but it's not drawn a lot of attention to, is the rate increases that come, or actually it's the viability to pay the loans back. And so that's what that rate increase is going to be, depending on what it is. Depending on how much money we ask for, how much money we get, we're aware that there's between $20 and $25 million worth of work needs done in the city of Winston. It's not going to be fun trying to figure this out, and it could be very painful at the end of the month when you got to pay the water collection bill. It's not fun for any of us. We all got to pay it too. Dave, any comments?
The biggest thing is to the point that we're damned if we do and we'll be damned if we don't. There's an old Fram commercial, you know, pay me now or pay me later. And so is it better to take the hurt now and minimize the cost, or to put it off and wait for a catastrophic event to happen that's going to make it far more expensive? And that's what we're faced with, okay? Things we take very seriously, that we're the stewards of the people's money. And we try to do as very much as we can. And regretfully, this is something that should have been probably addressed years ago. And our philosophy here is the buck stops here. You don't kick the can down the road anymore.
Unless in our cul-de-sac right here.
Okay. Unless it's in his.
Yeah. Alicia, anything you want to offer? Any questions? Anything to add?
I mean, the hard part of grants is that you have to have labor time to put towards those. And I mean, do we really have that available? I mean, is there...
That was one of the other things we voted on the other night, was that you were going to be our new grant writer in your spare time. I didn't tell you that. That wasn't in the memo. I'm sorry.
I didn't write that down either.
She's not going to miss another meeting.
No.
If I may, Ron.
Please.
It depends on the grant, whether or not we'll have the time to fill it out. Mm-hmm. And it depends on the success rate of the grant, you know, so...
They can choose which ones are kind of the low-hanging fruit, because, I mean, right. Some of those federal grants, I'm actually working on one right now at work, and it's several pages, and you have, you know, it's a lot of information you have to gather just for one.
And you got to know the right language to talk.
Mm-hmm. And I think one of our major challenges is going to be coming up with the one-stop victory for the siphon that is the only thing that Civil West is concerned about. And then what else needs to be done? Because the siphon is, what, $3 million of this $25 million we're talking about?
Yeah, I mean, we have a whole list of projects.
Yeah, and how do we come up with the rest of it? So who writes that grant, Alicia?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, that's what One Stop's all about, is to try and define, you know, match projects and money. And sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't work, you know.
Did we do a one stop with that Snow Street station?
I'm sorry.
A one stop with the snow?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yes, we did.
Now we got a 50% forgiveness on that.
Yep. So that the one stop process is really unique, and it's nice because you go in there, you've got all the funding agencies there. They tell you about all their programs, and then they decide as a group which is the best option for you. And then that's the one that you typically are offered.
Yeah, see, I don't want to get caught up in that with just one project on the table.
Well, you know, and it's, they also have limits on how much grant they can give too. So, but when we get down to it, you know, mm-hmm. we'll just have to see where we're at. We'll do it as we finish the work. the design work necessary to go out and do the project. We will, you know, have to evaluate each package. But, you know, if we have a $5 million worth of projects, for example, you know, we'll sit down and try and leverage everything we can around what's necessary to fund that. So that's why you have, you hold the purse strings over the utility, you know, so that you can make those decisions, whatever is necessary, so it stays solvent.
We could, excuse me, we could have a meeting at 2:30 on Wednesday with the guy from Business Oregon.
This Wednesday?
Yeah.
Tuesday. That's fine.
Well, I mean, that was part of the telephone bank.
Yeah. No,
do you guys have any questions, any comments? Anybody wants to start a recall campaign, please?
One thing we did mention before, and I'll hit it till it gets tired. Anytime we get a grant, a loan, or anything else, we have to be able to pay it back. And the people that are giving us this grant or loan will look at our rate structure and decide how much we have to raise our rates or change our rates. And I'm sure that it's going to be raised, not lowered. Raise our rates to fix the problem. So we don't necessarily have the, we're not necessarily in charge completely because we're using somebody else's money.
Right. Councilor White?
No comment at this point.
Well, you're running out of time.
I know. You're cutting me off.
No, we're not going to do that. But I think we are going to bring a pause to this. We're hoping to get a little bit more information before we got here tonight, and we didn't. So if you guys don't have anything else you want to mention, we're going to cut this off, and we'll reconvene at 7 o'clock with a council meeting. Any questions before I do this? Thank you very much.
Workshop adjourned at 6:32.